Good morning. Welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Fress, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Now, yesterday, at the end of the program, reading in the book A Woman Rides a Beast by Dave Hunt, we recounted a lengthy and detailed eyewitness account of the 1993 World Youth Day event in Denver, Colorado, where Pope John Paul II was literally, not figuratively, but literally worshipped as a god, thus exposing the Vatican's intent, its historical intent, to reveal itself as the vicar or the replacement of the Son of God on earth, worthy to be worshipped as God on earth. That is the stand of the papacy, and despite this reality, author Dave Hunt, God rest his soul, still does not see the papacy as the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, but holds to his futurist belief that a future Antichrist will rise up and the Pope will be the false prophet. And Dave Hunt, though he professes Protestantism, and as much a good as the information that he provides in his book, simply does not hold the Protestant belief. The Protestant belief is that the papacy is the Antichrist of the Bible, the man of sin, the son of perdition, and that a single person predicted to arise 7 years before the return of Christ or thereabouts is the real Antichrist, and the Pope is just a false prophet. That's not Protestantism. And as we eventually conclude this book, we'll get into another book entitled Romanism and the Reformation by H. Grattan Guinness, and we'll take a detailed study of the scriptures, the very scriptures that Dave Hunt misunderstands, and we'll rehearse what the Protestant reformers said about those scriptures. And I believe if Dave Hunt had read that book and taken it to heart, he would not have remained a futurist and would have seen, as the Protestant reformers did, that the papacy fulfills all the prophecies of Antichrist in the Bible. So, having concluded that lengthy description, eyewitness account of the 1993 World Youth Day event in Denver, Colorado, will continue now on the next page, page 467 of the book, under the subtitle, Here We Go Again. We're still talking about the New World Order. Dave says, pagan Romans who worshiped the emperor in the old pagan Roman Empire, pagan Romans who worshiped the emperor were not narrow-minded. They had many gods and tolerated a wide range of beliefs. Christians were not persecuted because they believed in Jesus Christ, but because they believed in Him alone and would embrace no other gods, but only the God of the Bible. Catholicism is similarly tolerant of every religion and allows its members to practice everything from yoga to voodoo so long as they remain in the Roman Catholic Church. Both popular opinion and legislation are solidifying similar attitudes. Did you hear that? Popular opinion, the majority view, and legislation, the laws of this country, are solidifying similar attitudes. In other words, they don't care if you're Christian, but you must be tolerant of all other religions, like the pagan Roman Empire was, like the Pope is. Okay? And if you hold that salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone, then you're going to be met with the same opposition as was met the early Christians in the pagan Roman Empire and in the Holy Roman Empire. All through history, God's people have been persecuted because they hold to the one holy Christ of the Bible, Jesus Himself, and put no man between Christ and them, and place no man in Christ's place. That's where the persecution derives. Now, Dave continues, quote-unquote hate laws are coming on the books in Canada and the United States and elsewhere, which will make it a crime to suggest that anyone is wrong in his religion or moral beliefs or practices. Likely, it will soon be against the law to say that homosexuality is a sin or that any religion is wrong. The Genocide Treaty, signed by the United States and many other nations, though not yet enforced, already makes it a crime to suggest that someone's religious belief is false and try to convert others to what one considers to be the truth. Oddly enough, Roman Catholicism, while claiming to be the one true church, outside of which there is no salvation, according to Roman Catholic canon law, at the same time embraces all religions, as we have seen. On this account as well, the Vatican qualifies uniquely as the woman astride the beast of Revelation 17. We've seen Pope John Paul II's embrace of all religions, and he's claimed that all gods are the same, while at the same time denouncing fundamentalist Christians. His friend and admirer, televangelist Robert Schuller, and I'll again remind the listeners, a 33rd degree Freemason, presents similar ideas for an alleged evangelical perspective. Quote, the way to tell the good religion from the bad is whether it is positive. Schuller urged religious leaders, whatever their theology, to articulate their faith in positive terms, in other words, accepting terms of every other religion, in a massive united effort by leaders of all religions to proclaim the positive power of world community-building religious values. Unquote. So you see, Robert Schuller, the 33rd degree Freemason, is literally the cheerleader for the papacy's global religious agenda. Quoting further, it says, world community-building religious values, unquote, acceptable to all religions? Antichrist couldn't improve upon that New Age double talk. Out of Dave's own mouth, listen to what he says. He doesn't believe that the papacy is the Antichrist, but still believes that there is one Antichrist coming, one individual, just 7 years before Christ's return. Yet out of his own mouth, he says, Antichrist couldn't improve upon that New Age double talk. New Age double talk coming from the papacy and echoed by Robert Schuller. Yet Schuller, according to Dave Hunt, is commended by evangelical leaders and has the largest audience each Sunday morning of any televangelist. Schuller's embrace of Roman Catholicism and his advocacy of Protestant coming home to Rome has been well documented. That's right. Robert Schuller urged evangelicals to, quote, unquote, come home to Rome. I thought there was a violation if one were to steal sheep, according to the popes. Look, that only goes one way. Evangelization of the Roman Catholic Church takes place all the time, and mostly behind the scenes, through government legislation. But occasionally, and especially since Vatican Council II, these so-called evangelicals are proselytizing for Rome. Proselytizing for Rome. We must come home to Mama, according to Robert Schuller, when Christ says, come out of her, my people. Dave continues, he says, the coming world religion will be subtle, will be subtly but not blatantly anti-Christian. I beg to differ. It's going to be blatantly anti-Christian. Anybody who holds out for Christ and Him alone will be persecuted similar to anything that has ever happened in the world. By the same means and methods, the papacy is going to attempt to exterminate heresy. He says the coming world religion will be subtly, not blatantly, anti-Christian. And of course, this statement indicates that, well, it's using a broad definition for the term Christianity. And that broadness is what I hope to correct among my listeners. We don't belong to a broad road, and we're not going through a broad gate. It's very narrow. It's Christ and Him alone. Sola fide. Faith in Christ. Solo gratia. By grace alone. Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the narrow gate. The New World religion is the broad road, and many will go in thereat. Again, he says, the coming world religion will be subtly, not blatantly, anti-Christian. It will, like Hitler's National Socialism, pose as positive Christianity and will be irresistibly appealing to the whole world. Like so much that we are already seeing, even within evangelical circles, it will be a perversion of Christianity in the name of Christ. The same acceptance of all religions is preached by the apparitions of Mary and by the most appealing Roman Catholic evangelist, Mother Teresa, whom no one dares criticize because of her outstanding charitable deeds of self-sacrifice. The worldwide fame of Mother Teresa of Calcutta has given Catholicism acceptability among Protestants, who rightly admire her of her sacrificial charity. Rome calls her, quote, one of the world's greatest evangelists, unquote. Yet her evangelism led no one to Christ, but encouraged trust in whatever God they believed in. Quote, they brought us a man with half his body eaten away. Worms crawled all over him. I went to clean him and asked, and he asked me, quote, why are you bothering to do this, unquote. I love you, I said. For me, you are Jesus coming in his distressing disguise. I'm only sharing the joy of loving you and loving Jesus in you, said Mother Teresa. Then what did this what did this Hindu gentleman say to me? He just said, glory be to Jesus Christ. He realized that he was someone loved, unquote. Now, Dave says this Hindu gentleman was not told the most wonderful evidence that, quote, he was someone loved, unquote, that this Jesus Christ, who is God, became a man to die for his sins and thereby paid the debt demanded by God's justice so that he could be forgiven and receive eternal life as a free gift from God's grace. He was not evangelized in the biblical meaning of that term at all. He was left to be a Hindu, with all his superstitions and false beliefs intact, left in his sins to die without Christ. A Hindu who was loved, but not loved enough by one of the world's greatest evangelists, we are told, to be told the truth that would have rescued him from hell. This is Catholicism's new evangelism that proposes to convert the world by the year 2000. Quote, I love all religions, says Mother Teresa, an idea that fits the coming world religion perfectly. Under the subtitle, The Vatican and the New World Order, Dave says, the New World religion will be similarly tolerant of all beliefs which are willing to unite with one another in the peaceable rescue of mankind. Uncompromising Christians will be put to death for standing in the way of unity and peace. David Koresh was a false Messiah. But the massacre at Waco shows how easily the Antichrist could justify the destruction of any who deviate from the world religion. Jesuit-trained Bill Clinton said, quote, "I hope very much that others who will be tempted to join cults and become involved with people like David Koresh will be determined by the horrible scenes they have seen of the immolation of the Branch Davidians at their Mount Carmel compound in Waco, Texas. There is unfortunately a rise in this sort of fanaticism all over the world, and we may have to confront it again." Clearly, Bill Clinton was a crusader for the Pope. He put down what his religion, Roman Catholicism, views as a cult. Now, you can think whatever you want to think about David Koresh. I'm not a cheerleader for David Koresh. But they had a right in this country, under our Constitution, to worship God according to the leading of the Scriptures. And Bill Clinton thought it just that they be burned in their own house and used it as a warning to anyone else who belongs to a segregated sect like David Koresh. Now, who do you suppose that applies to? Who do you suppose that applies to? Those who hold to the gospel. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The shot has already been fired across the bow of true Bible-believing Christians by one who professed himself to be a Christian, Bill Clinton. Jesuit-trained Bill Clinton. New World Order host Bill Clinton. It's almost frightening that the President of the United States commends the massacre at Waco as the justice deserved by religious fanatics. In contrast, governments cultivate partnerships with Roman Catholicism. This was so not only in past centuries, but today as well. Pope John Paul II's relationship with Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Gorbachev, Arafat et al. Is well known. His willingness to ignore injustice to keep such relationships was demonstrated early in his pontificate. He visited Argentina's three-man ruling junta, but refused to grant an audience to the relatives of about 20,000 people who were abducted by the military and, quote-unquote, disappeared. In other words, this three-man junta and its supporters rounded up some 20,000 people or more, loaded them up on helicopters, took them out in the ocean and dropped them, or otherwise disposed of them. They just ceased to exist. No known record of their whereabouts or how they were disposed of. That's who was supported by the papacy and by these religious leaders that he just mentioned. Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Gorbachev, Arafat. The papacy. He says, one reason for Antichrist's close relationship at first with the Vatican is seen in the importance which every nation on the earth puts upon good relations with, quote, the most extensive international organization in the world outside the United States, unquote. See, here's another example of Dave Hunt's futurism showing its face. He still does not regard the papacy as Antichrist, but that the Antichrist is a single individual that will ally himself with the Vatican. He continues, his United States Ambassador to the Vatican, Raymond Flynn, has said, quote, The Vatican relationship to the United States is extraordinarily important. It is in the national interest of the United States of America to have strong diplomatic relations with the Vatican, unquote. President Bill Clinton considered this his meeting with the Pope in Denver to be of the utmost importance. He met several times with Ambassador Flynn in preparing for that meeting, and Flynn flew out with him in the presidential plane for continuing consultation. Less than a year later, Bill Clinton journeyed to Rome to meet with the Pope in the Vatican. The whole world recognizes the importance of this relationship, and so will Antichrist, says Dave Hunt. I'm sorry, it's not funny. It's simply amazing to me, in spite of all that Dave Hunt knows, or knew, after his demise, he still did not regard the Bible, regard the papacy as the Antichrist. Anyway, a quote here, quote, from Rome to Washington, geopolitical analysts are talking about a new alliance between the world's chief military power, the United States, and the world's chief spiritual leader, the Pope, unquote. Soon the alliance will be between the world ruler, here's Dave's futurism showing up again, and don't you know, if you're a careful listener here and a regular listener here at Inquisition Update, you're going to know that the papacy's going to put up a phony world ruler to take the onus of Antichrist away from the papacy. You know, the last man standing is going to be the Pope. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Antichrist of the Bible. But he won't stand long because Christ is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Anyway, Dave says, soon the alliance will be between the world ruler and the Vatican. Indeed, the woman will ride the beast, so vital will be her role. Antichrist will know there can be no political peace without religious peace. Until all religions are willing to embrace one another as partners in working toward common goals, there can be no global peace. And the Pope, for the reasons we've documented, will be essential to establish full ecumenism. Robert Mueller, a Roman Catholic and former UN Assistant Secretary General and Chancellor of the University of Peace, has said, quote, we need a world or cosmic spirituality. I hope that religious leaders will get together and define the cosmic laws which are common to all their faiths. We must also hope that the Pope will come before the year 2000 to the United Nations, speak for all the religions and spiritualities on this planet, and give the world the religious view of how the third millennium should be a spiritual millennium, unquote. You talk about a setup. We hope that the Pope, the representative of all the religions of the world, will come to the United Nations and proclaim how the new world religion will assist the global peace that we are about to enjoy. What does the Bible say? When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail with a woman, as a woman with child. Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And most of the world is deceived about what is really happening. We'll be back right after the message.
With our hearts we believe, with our mouths we confess, you are. years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it. What does that mean?
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio. Before the break, we read a quote by Robert Mueller, a Roman Catholic and former UN Assistant Secretary General and a Chancellor of the University of Peace, very powerful man. This quote literally describes a global union of church and state. First, the establishment of a global religion, and then its unification with the global government. And both together will, as in the form of the old world order, become mutually holy and sacrosanct as a divine right institution. Church and state united. And anyone who opposes this global church-state union and its laws and tenets will be regarded as enemies of the state, enemies of the church, and will be exterminated. Listen again to the quote. First, we're just going to describe the global religion. Quote, "We need a world or cosmic spirituality." There's your global church. Now, Mueller continues. He says, "I hope that religious leaders will get together," that's ecumenism, "and define the cosmic laws which are common to all their faiths. So the religious leaders of the world, all religions, are going to ecumenically get together and settle on a list of laws common to all religions. Laws that are common to all man-made religions. Now, you must know that those won't be God's laws. They'll be the laws that they mutually agree on, all these religious leaders of the world. Notice not one word is mentioned of Christ or His holy law. Now, once this global religion is created and all the laws are promulgated, he continues with a quote. He says, "We must also hope that the Pope, who represents all of these religious leaders and the laws that they have mutually promulgated, will come before the year 2000 to the United Nations, the global government, the United Nations, and speak for all the religions and the spiritualities on this planet and give the world the religious view of how the third millennium should be a spiritual millennium." This global religious leader, already acknowledged in this quote as the Pope of Rome, will come to the world governing authority, the United Nations, and literally set out the outline for the third millennium. In other words, give the UN instruction. Now, if that's not a union of church and state, I don't know what it is. A global union of church and state. And look, once all the world's religions have been united under a single ecclesiastical head like the Pope of Rome, and the Pope of Rome, the God of this world, addresses the civil legislative body of the world, the United Nations, the United Nations now shares the sanctity of this global religious leader. And they now view themselves as divine writers, coming under the auspices of the papacy, taking direction from the global religious leader, the God of this world. Church and state united. Globally. What does that spell for God's people, who hold to Jesus Christ and Him only, and His holy law, as supreme and unalterable, and binding upon all of those who are in the kingdom of Christ? They've already singled us out. And I'm going to let you know, as Dave Hunt surely realizes, this has all been designed to single us out. This is Satan corralling all of the sheep of Jesus Christ into a very small corral for their slaughter. That's what Rome has in mind. It's simply a mirror image of all the history since its founding. No one should be surprised at all what the New World Order is. It's simply the reestablishment of the Old World Order on a global scale. There's no excuse for anybody in this world to be deceived about what the New World Order is. It's all about religion. It's all about uniting all the world's governments under the authority of the Pope of Rome, so that the Pope can once again, through the use of the civil law, the global government of the world, to exterminate and annihilate those who worship Christ and Christ alone. He says, when finally the religious leaders and political leaders unite, Dave Hunt recognized this is a global union of church and state. He says, when finally the religious leaders and the political leaders, that's church and state, unite to accomplish the same goals, the kingdom of Antichrist will have arrived. the kingdom of Antichrist will have arrived. Now, this was supposed to have happened in 2000. Dave Hunt didn't die until just recently. But he says the kingdom of Antichrist won't come until 7 years before Christ returns. He defies his own knowledge with that belief. When finally the religious leaders and political leaders unite to accomplish the same goals, the kingdom of Antichrist will have arrived. Such was the situation, an imperfect union under Vatican leadership for more than 1,000 years in the past. So obviously, Dave Hunt knows that the New World Order is simply the Old World Order restored on a global scale. He continues, he says, and so it will be again, but this time with the terrifying full control that only today's computers and spy satellites can effect. See, during the Old World Order, somebody had to turn you into the Inquisition. You had to be caught in some heresy, or accused of some heresy, and then brought manually to an Inquisition. But in today's world, everything that you think, do, and say on the computer is being monitored. I've likened it this way with all the technologies available today, computers and spy satellites, that the computer has just become your priestly confessor. Every keystroke that you make, every thought that you express on your computer, which doesn't have to be expressed by your input, you could simply just, they simply just keep track of what websites you go to. They can extrapolate what you believe, what you're interested in, and they can, well, what's the word they use? They can profile you. They can come to assessments about you and assess your threat level based on your interests. They can literally assign you a title, heretic, or some alter ego like domestic terrorist or enemy combatant. And they already know what they're going to do with you. It's all geared toward destroying God's people. All those who are friendly to this global religion and global state will be reflected in their interests, what their profile. It will be shown. But those of us who go to websites that are uniquely Protestant are going to be shown as heretics or enemy combatants or some other demonization, and will be treated just like David Koresh. Will be denounced and ridiculed and minimized and marginalized and criminalized and defamed and slandered and demonized. Until when they do away with us, nobody will miss us. Nobody will, if anything, they will rejoice. They got rid of the religious bigots. Those who say that our religion is a cult. We'll just give them their rapture. We'll rapture them for them. They're also anxious to get to heaven. We'll just help them. God's people will be slain and no one will take it to heart. He continues under the subtitle, A Solemn Warning from Heaven. Dave says, how could religious leaders and their followers tolerate such totalitarianism? Consider the example of a 266-member delegation of America's National Council of Churches, which visited the Soviet Union in June of 1984. They toured 14 cities and visited numerous state-licensed churches, much like they are here in the United States, 501c3, state-licensed churches. The New York Times reported that the National Council of Churches delegation offered, quote, praise for the status of religion in the Soviet Union and condemnation of the United States' role in the arms race, and voiced irritation that the harmony of their visit had been marred when two demonstrators demanding religious freedom held up banners reading, "This is not a free church," during a Baptist church service, unquote. The National Council of Churches delegation leader Bruce Rigdon of McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago, quote, expressed offense at the protest and admiration for the Soviet authorities who suppressed it, unquote. They were simply trying to tell them there is no religious liberty here. It's a state-licensed church. There's no freedom of religion here in the Soviet Union. Do you really think there'll be religious liberty in the global New World Order under the Pope? Uh-uh. No, you won't be free to be Christian. You won't be free to be a Bible believer. You won't be free to preach Jesus and Him only. You might be allowed to preach Jesus as long as you're willing to preach Buddha too. He says in Santiago de Compostela in Spain, during August 4th through the 13th, 1993, the World Council of Churches held its fifth World Conference on Faith and Order. Roman Catholics were official and full participants for the very first time at any World Council of Churches meeting. And this, besides the fact that the World Council of Churches was created by the Vatican. The Vatican was just a late-coming member to their own organization. It was to give plausible deniability that it's her organization in the first place. Just like the debutante lately and strategically late coming to her own party to announce her arrival to get full stage coverage. It says the goal toward which participants were working was a world church, and not one which is united so much by faith as one which is visibly united in the eyes of the entire world. Just a public display of unity. No spiritual truth involved. How typical of Satan. The delegates adopted the statement, quote, there's no turning back from the single ecumenical movement that unites concern for the unity of the church and concern for the struggles of the world, unquote. Not one mention of Jesus Christ, is there? Spiritual life is not even a concern. It's global government is their concern. A human government. And Christ is not invited. That's what the World Council of Churches is all about. That's what the National Council of Churches is all about. He says that significant declaration recognizes that the world church must operate in partnership with the world government. Union of church and state. The old world order restored. World Council of Churches Central Committee Moderator Aram Keshishian declares in his address that the World Council of Churches, quote, must relate its doctrinal work more closely to social ethics. Faith and order cannot ignore the socio-political and economic dimensions in its quest for church unity. Any dichotomy between Christian faith and political involvement, between unity of the church and struggles for justice, is an ecumenical heresy, unquote. That goal will be realized. The marriage of convenience, however, between Antichrist and the false world church won't last indefinitely. When the honeymoon is over, Antichrist will turn on and destroy the whore. Revelation 17, verse 16, and I hate to correct Gabe Hunt. That's not what it says. It does not say that Antichrist will turn on and destroy the whore, the Roman Catholic Church. No, it says the kings, in Revelation chapter 17, it says the kings who have given all their power and strength unto the beast, the papacy, will hate the whore. In other words, the kings of the earth who are now allied with the papacy in this united church-state union are going to recognize at some point that he's not Christ, nor is he the vicar of Christ, but that he is someone else. The Antichrist. This is what Dave Hunt doesn't realize. And they will hate the whore. They will hate the Roman Catholic Church and its leader, the Pope, for causing them to make war against the Lamb of God and His people. And you know what? They'll try to amend themselves to the true God of heaven by destroying the Roman Catholic Church and the papacy. They will turn on the Roman Catholic Church, but only after it's too late, after they've already soaked the earth with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Only then will they come to their senses. What will bring about that sensibility, I haven't yet determined. But it's not Antichrist who destroys the woman on the scarlet-colored beast. It's the kings of the earth. Read chapter 17, Dave, on it's very explicit. That's what's going to happen. These global world leaders that are now in bed with the whore of Rome are going to realize he's not Christ or Christ's vicar. The true Christ is about to arrive on the earth. And they want to change. They want to make reparations to the new Messiah coming from heaven. That's my take on it. If my listeners will read chapter 17 of the book of Revelations and come to a different conclusion, I'd like to hear from you. But it's certainly not the conclusion that Dave Hunt presents here in the book. Again, he says, when the honeymoon is over, this unholy union between church and state, Antichrist will turn on and destroy the whore. See, Dave believes in a future Antichrist, a single individual, and he will turn on and destroy the whore. But that's not what the Bible says. This says the kings of the earth will hate the whore and make her naked and desolate and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For strong is the Lord that judgeth her. The Lord's going to use the kings of the earth just like he used King Nebuchadnezzar. He continues, when the honeymoon is over, Antichrist will turn on and destroy the whore, Revelation 17, verse 16, affecting God's will in the process, verse 17. It says, one of the most damning indictments God makes against the woman on the beast is that she will have trafficked not only in costly merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, but also in slaves and souls of men. Revelation 18, verse 12 and 13. We have documented that as well. In the meantime, there's a voice from heaven saying in awesome tones, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Here's the order to the kings of the earth. He says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and 8. That is God's judgment upon the whore, and it will come from the very kings who now have given her their power and strength in order to persecute and destroy God's people, to make war against the Lamb of God. And how do you make war against the Lamb of God? By making war against His temple. And what is His temple? You and me. All of this, this entire New World Order is designed for one thing and one thing only. To make war against the saints of Almighty God. May all those who love Jesus Christ and His gospel come together in compassion and true union to rescue as many as possible from this dire judgment. Those who now stand in condemnation of Inquisition Update and the truth we present here on the broadcast may soon see the light. Instead of persecuting me, will love me for telling them the truth that few have the courage to tell. That concludes the main portion of the book, but there's vital information contained in the appendix of this book, and I intend to cover it. Appendix A, the book is going to talk about purgatory. Many of you already know about it. Some of you don't, and you need to know what Rome teaches. This chapter begins with quotes, as do all the rest in this book, quotes from Vatican Council II. The truth has been divinely revealed that sins are followed by punishments. God's holiness and justice inflict them. Sins must be expiated. This may be done on this earth through the sorrows, miseries, and trials of this life, and above all, through death. Otherwise, the expiation must be made in the next life through fire and torments, or purifying punishments. The punishments with which we are concerned here are imposed by God's judgment, which is just and merciful. The reasons for their imposition are that our souls need to be purified. The holiness of the moral order needs to be strengthened, and God's glory must be restored to its fullest majesty. Unquote. That is Rome's justification for purgatory. It's completely a denial of God's grace. We'll talk about it more on the program tomorrow. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save